Extension program, and we're going to take a dive into some topics. And it's a program designed, a podcast designed to help you learn about faith in a practical way. And so my name's Pastor Steve Androlonis. I'm with Pastor Barry Quirk here. Today we're talking about, diversity from a biblical standpoint. We know that there are a variety of different people groups in the world. I'm specifically using that word, people groups, because we understand something about the human race and that there's one race on the planet, and that's the human race. And so we're going to talk about this topic from the Bible. We invite you to be a part of the conversation. If you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook Live, you can post your questions there. They'll come up here on the screen, and we may get to them. We might get into a discussion where we don't get to your question, so don't take it personally. But please, everyone can see those questions and your comments. We'll try to we'll answer your questions, and we'll certainly your comments. Please comment there. And you can also call us. And the phone number to use here is 1-800-338-7060. That's a toll-free number in the U.S. and in Canada. So if you'd like to call us and share your thoughts on the Grace Hour, you could do it that way. Or you could call here locally in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. Also, if you're in an international space, that means outside of North America, you could use that 410 number and call us somehow. And we could take your call, and you could join the conversation here. So we are talking about the nature of diversity and how the Bible made us into what we are as a human society. So let me throw this to Pastor Barry, and he can introduce the topic a little bit, and we'll go forward from here.
Yeah. So good morning, Pastor Steve. Good to have you with us. Our normal Wednesday host here, Pastor John Love, he's a little under the weather. Actually, in NHL terms, he suffered a lower body injury. We're not going to tell you exactly what happened, but you can be praying for Pastor Love. Actually, he did suffer an ice hockey injury.
That's right.
And
he does still play hockey, which is to his credit.
Yeah, he and Chris Regan, and who happens to be my brother,
Pastor Dwayne George, they play up there. That's right.
They're still playing.
Monday night is their hockey night, right?
It is. So Pastor Love, unfortunately, did suffer a pretty serious leg injury, and we just want to keep him in prayers. It's great to have you with us in his stead, but we're with you, Pastor Love, and we miss you. This topic, especially, in today's heated, I would say,
overheated?
Oh, maybe overheated economy. Yeah. We live in Baltimore. We have a school here, the Greater Grace Christian Academy, that has not only maybe 55% of GGWO population, but 45% from our local churches, which really embraces a very diverse student body. We have Hispanic students, we have African American students, we have Asian students. So we have a great diversity in our school. And the thing is that we as believers know that there is a celebration of diversity, but there's a really awesome privilege of oneness. And that oneness happens because of our identity. We were saying a little bit yesterday in our staff meeting that we have suffered from an identity crisis. The world wants everybody to have an identity. There's politics that's identity politics. There's depending on what political affiliation or what race, how do you frame a question? Are you fit to answer a question because of your race or your religious upbringing or your political stance? And we know that a lot of times the origin of those divisions is the divider himself. Yeah. And what a beautiful thing that we could celebrate unity in our diversity, right? And this is. Yeah. Our country is built on it, and also, unfortunately, we have history that hasn't been the best in a lot of these areas, but the blood of Jesus Christ allows us to operate in a way that is fresh and brand new every day.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, so we, you know, we think about, yeah, identity is a big thing. It's, you said it, I think you said it yesterday, mm-hmm. about the boat story. What boat did we all come off of?
Yeah.
And there's a, you know, it's a very, you know, it's a very simple story in the Bible that there was a flood. That flood was a judgment on a planet that had become really given over to evil. Mm-hmm. Imaginations, the imaginations of the heart were evil continually. God was grieved, and this was his solution. And it was one family, eight people. And we all come from Shem, Ham, and Japheth and mm-hmm. their wives. That's mm-hmm. that's the Bible story.
That's right.
And how did God, you know, what's the diversity? Did God put diversity into the human realm? Apparently he did. And yeah. how did that diversity play itself out? You know, and I think we know that diversity, anything that we look at, we know that there are various parts to it. And this is, we know that this is different. This is like, there are different, what is the right way? Mm. You know, we would say we go to an automobile, automobile lot, a mm-hmm. used lot, and we see a variety of makes and models.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, this is maybe a bad analogy, bad metaphor, but this is the way that God, what is it? God set this in motion, and we can't,
yes.
you know, this is really the only answer that we have, right?
Yeah, I think it is a, it's a beautiful mystery how God created in our, even in our gene pool, the capacity to adapt to some degree to location. I mean, when we think about the boat, and it's an interesting way to say it because, you know, we hear Ellis Island and we came off the boat.
My relatives are. I'm yeah, Lithuanian Polish. Yeah.
So
you know,
we came off the boat. But this boat was, you know, a boat that that was previous to all boats. And,
yeah.
and you know, we at the time, of course, had no flood. And in the middle of a desert area, they're building a vessel of salvation. And this is how God chose to cleanse the earth of, at the time, the wickedness that was upon it. Now, from that boat, as you said, Noah's sons and their wives, they're the ones who populated the earth. And of course, they went to different areas. And you can read Genesis 9 and Genesis 10 and get the rundown on where they dispersed to. But out of those dispersions came the different races that we know now. And mm-hmm. Of course, in our infinite wisdom, man who tries to build his own tower to yeah. God, you know, has to be shut down, and then differences of languages come into the picture. So, but how did we have, you know, one of the questions is, well, why do we have different skin tones? Well, just simply that our genetics allow, when somebody is living in an area where the climate is different, where the food is different, where the environment is different, then there is some originally a appears that there was some adaptation to that, and then intermarrying and the features that you think of a family, you know, you can think of a family in our church and say every one of those kids, you can tell what family they're in. They all look like they share some of the traits that, of their parents. And this is the thing about the differences in skin tones and features that we can see. You know, interesting that the original, and we are talking about Noah and his family, but what about the original, you know, Adam and Eve, right?
Yeah, really.
It didn't say Adam was a Hebrew or a Canaanite, or, you know, Eve was, Adam means humanity. He was a human. He was of the human race.
That's it.
Right? So there are a beautiful allowance for diversity and features and colors. Now, I always ask this question at school of our kids, and it's related but unrelated. I say, you know, you have an introvert or an extrovert. Who's correct? And of course, the answer is, well, neither or both. Yeah. You know, God uses an introvert. God uses an extrovert. Uh-huh. You know, what difference, you know, who is the race that God desires to be exalted in the Bible? Well, there is one. It's the human race. Yeah. And involved in that human race, there's a diversity. There is a beautiful distinction that happens. And we can celebrate that in a way that still exalts Jesus Christ as our key and has unity beyond what we would say.
And, you know, this is, let's say, what was the church's purpose when we say we see the life of Jesus and we see Jesus being welcoming to, you know, the Samaritans
yep.
who were a mixed ethnicity group of people. We know that they were partly Jewish and partly not. This is, you know, and how did this happen? Well, it's related to the sin that invaded the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
And we know that God designed a oneness. We know that Adam and Eve were made according to the design of God. Now, I've often, maybe you've read it through and noticed this yourself, but, you know, Eve didn't really have a name until after the fall. She was under the name of Adam, and, you know, Adam and Adam. It was like, but then when Eve, then she got a nickname, the mother of all living. Mm. And so it seems like this, the unity was fractured, the unity between the man and the woman, and their unity with God in the in his presence was fractured by the lie that was introduced. Mm. And so this is like, why do we have these attitudes and these natures toward differences? And it is because of sin. This is what we have to get back to, this nature of sin that really introduces our dissatisfaction. So Adam and Eve fall, and the first thing they are dissatisfied with is their design, the design of their physical appearance, because they try to hide it. Something about their physical appearance after the fall became annoying to them or something. We don't understand. This is the first understanding of death, I think, and it's a soulish kind of understanding of death, because they don't appreciate what they were made for. And before that, they were naked and unashamed, and now they are naked and feeling dissatisfied, disappointed with the way that they look out in the open. And so the first fashion statement, the introduction of a fashion statement, happens pretty quickly after that fall.
Yes.
We got to cover this part of us up. Why? It wasn't an issue before, and now it's an issue now. And I think this is the thing, is like when we're talking about identity, a self-oriented identity that doesn't, you know, seek its place in the kingdom of God or under God, is the thing that creates the real annoyance, and that progresses to even dissatisfaction, and then also prejudice towards people, things that we don't think look right. And it's all based on, I don't think I look right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think God is clear in his design that there are two types of people. There are those that are believing in him and are saved, and there are those that aren't, right? And now the interesting thing is that he raises up Israel to be his people as a way of bringing the Messiah into the world and saving the entire world. And then what does he tell them? He says, don't intermarry with people of other areas. But when we think about this through the mind of God, you know, he's thinking, let's separate my people from people who worship pagan gods, who are sinful in nature, like you just said.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, you look different than them or you're superior to them. It's that you have been preserved to bring the salvation, the Savior through the seed of David. And we need to keep you separate from the world. And we see this today in our lives in Romans 12, 2. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, human beings could turn that, what God meant as, let's keep you separated and pure, into you are superior.
Yeah.
And you have a superiority, so you should look down at everybody else. Well, tell me, where in the Bible does it tell us as believers that we are not to esteem somebody better than ourselves, right? Mm. First of all, you know, what do we have that we haven't received of God? Second of all, how do we even have that ability to look at somebody outside of the ability that we see ourselves in the grace of God? Because otherwise, it's a monument to myself, and I'm going to fail. I'm going to be miserable anyways. So, so we tend to see things through our eyes when God's design was separation so that he could preserve salvation. Mm-hmm. And we've turned that into superiority that happens because we're separate.
Yeah, well, let's think, okay, so let's go. We talked about the boat.
Yep.
We know that everyone came from that boat. We look at the lineage of Jesus Christ himself, particularly in the book of Luke 4, chapter 4. The lineage goes all the way back to Adam.
Mm.
In the first book of Matthew, it starts with Jesus, the son of Abraham, the son of David. That book of the gospel, that gospel book is really geared toward showing Jesus as the king. of Israel. But in Luke, we have a gospel that is geared to showing Jesus as the perfect man related to all men. And it's written by a man who was not Jewish. Mm-hmm. Luke is not a Jew. He's an educated physician. And so we go back to that. And so we see that when the Tower of Babel was being built, you know, they're erecting this thing to make a name for themselves. Again, identity, and it's being stimulated, no doubt, by the liar. And then God fragments the world based on how you hear.
Yeah.
It's like, the first divisions did not come because the Shem group went there, the Japheth group went there, and the Ham group went there. That's a total fabrication of what the earth. They went all over the wide round world. I'm saying that in answer to something here, the wide round world, which is, so I was a big moon guy, when I was nine, and, cause the lunar landing, but the previous, they went around the dark side and took that picture of the earth hanging there as a circle where God said it. Amazing. Anyway, I'm just saying that the world, based on how you heard, you had to listen, use your ears, which is really like what God was doing, was trying to get people to use their ears in the people groups. So I'm thinking, how did we get these different, like you said, how did we get these different categories of people groups? The people group came together against language, and then as those language, as you're talking to people that you can understand, the marriages happened,
yes.
The families happened,
yes.
The DNA, became categorized, right. Or concentrated. That's a better way.
Yeah.
The concentration of the DNA
right.
was the thing that happened. And this made for the kind of peoples that we have, the variety of peoples.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, because of the history and the evil of mankind, and by the way, this history and this evil is not original with America.
No.
This is something that from biblical times, there was, a misuse of authority, a misuse of God's design on a people. And, God made his people in bondage to Egypt for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, somehow delivered us from that bondage. And, we are grateful for the separation, for the trials that teaches us how to live in our lives today and all of those things. But again, there's diversity in the body of Christ that happens by design. Mm-hmm. And when we think about an automobile, or we think about a bicycle, or we think about, anything, we think about our physical body, we could say, the heart is the most amazing thing. It's the most important thing, and it is. And you can't live without your heart.
Mm-hmm.
But try living without some other vital organs.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. They're all fitly joined together
yeah.
to make up an incredible, incredible body that functions beyond what we could ever ask or think. And the bottom line is that God, by design, has chosen to do things with diversity included in it to reveal the glory of God in the whole picture. And
yeah.
When we look at the body of Christ, we don't have, disdain for our thumb because it doesn't look and work like our elbow. It's a
yeah.
completely different function. Equally as important, try drinking your morning coffee without your elbow.
Yeah.
That's a rough thing. And then
yeah.
try not having your digits that actually can grasp and unscrew a can or whatever the situation is. God, it by design, has chosen to use us. So should we celebrate diversity? Absolutely. Now, can we get into trouble when we start designing churches specifically only for certain races or only for certain groups of people, types of people? I think we can get in trouble. I think that we yeah. can start to get so internally occupied that we forget who we are in the diverse body
yeah.
of Christ, right?
Yeah.
Now, are we drawn to people that are like ourselves? Yeah. If I
yeah.
sit down at a at a gathering of friends and somebody's talking about sports, you know, I'm drawn to that person. But does that mean that's the only person I can fellowship with? No, it's one group that I feel comfortable fellowshipping with. But the diversity of Christ, I can learn from every person in that gathering. And everybody might have a portion that would be edifying to me. So I don't want to miss that portion. And if I get so overoccupied with a specific style of worship or a specific style, you know, only common to, you know, my in-laws are Greek. And you know, I could say, well, the Greek Orthodox Church does it this way, and I only want to worship with people of the Greek Orthodox persuasion. And I would miss, like, the ministry of people outside of that particular gathering. I'd rather say, let's come into a place where every person is welcome, and the commonality is not who we are, but it's who we're worshiping, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You're listening to the Grace Hour. We'd love to hear from you at some point. Maybe you could talk to us, 1-800-338-7060. The other number, 410-483-3700. I'm Pastor Steve Andrelonis. With me, Pastor Barry Quirk. We're talking about the nature of nationality, ethnicity. And we've come to the conclusion from the Bible that there is one race. And where is that really communicated? I think it's really communicated in Paul's apologetic. Now, remember, Paul is in Athens. And why is Paul in Athens? Well, he has, you know, wherever Paul went preaching the gospel, there was a great stirring of agitation sometimes among people who didn't want to believe the message that Jesus is the Christ, and whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And, you know, and Paul was in Athens, and he was sort of exercised by the multitude of idols that were there. But he wound up in a very interesting group of people at Areopagus, and or Mars Hill, as it's called. It's like the philosophers who were, it says in that chapter that the people of Athens were always interested in a new thing. And Paul begins by saying that God made people of one breath and one blood.
Yes.
Let's talk about what that means. One breath, that means that God formed man in his image out of the dust of the earth, and then he breathed into him, and then also of one blood. And this has been like science, biology, DNA markers have shown that the basic elements of all human beings, no matter where they come from, no matter what they look like in skin tone, have these basic genetic markers that come from a unified source.
Yeah. I mean, you don't actually believe that biology is real, do you, Pastor Steve?
I mean, that's not such a popular opinion these days.
Isn't it so interesting that the things that are reality, the truth that falls in the street, you know, that we call that which is true a lie and that which is a lie true. And then if you say it loud enough and long enough, people start to believe it. Well, yeah, you're absolutely right that we talked about it yesterday in the staff meeting a little bit, but, you know, I have, in 5 minutes time, I wrote down a number of cities that I had visited for more than a night, you know, not just passing through an airport.
I know, I saw that. That was like a pretty impressive list.
Yeah, there was 50 cities, both in the U.S. and international in 23 different countries. And I said to my Bible class yesterday, I said, you know, the question is, how many people, you know, what's the differences of all those people? And they said food, culture, all the things, the appearance, you know, even the where they live, the difference in lifestyle based on whether they live in the mountains or the plains. And I said, okay, so what's the commonality with all those people? Yeah. And the commonality is that every one of us has a need for Jesus Christ, right?
Yeah.
Without the precious blood of Jesus Christ being shed for us, then there is no remission of sins. Yeah. So every one of the commonality was that every single person had a need for the Savior. So that was like the first thing. Now, what is it that if every one of those people, if they cut their finger, they all bleed red blood? Every one of them. The DNA, the markers, the things that separate us. And it's amazing what they can do. I not too long ago took a DNA test because My wife found out she had a long lost sister.
I heard that. And, I remember that. That was remarkable.
Yeah, and it was beautiful. Actually, she's a precious believer. But as a result, we just said for fun, let's do ours. And you know, I found out I'm 13% Greek, which made her Greek family very happy. But also, I found out I had origins in Africa, you know, Northern Africa, 4% and 1% in Nigeria. And who thought, you know? Now, the thing is that you can literally tell, you know, what part of the globe that you originated from based on DNA. This is scientific evidence, but it doesn't exclude that you're a human in any one of those different categories. Every one of them makes up, you know, your blood, your where you came from, what percentage of who you are and how you are, all equals one human being. And all that human race is the one that God designed. And in that design, he provided the ability to have differences. But without his design, we don't have any differences. You can't say, you know, and here's the question that's asked today, Pastor Steve, you know, what race are you? And of course, we've been conditioned to answer African-American, Caucasian, Asian. Mm-hmm. We're humans. Yeah. We're humans. Like, we concentrate so easily on our differences. And the Lord maybe is saying to us, you know, those differences are awesome, and you should be encouraged in who you are. I love the fact that any one of us, no matter where we're brought up, can love what race we are, love our skin color, love our... But it doesn't separate us from loving God and from loving one another, right? Mm-hmm. And having the vision of Jesus Christ between us instead of just my eyesight, which sees differences, I can see unity.
Yeah, yeah. The appreciation factor is the thing. You know, Revelation tells us, you know, where we're going. I mean, and we believe this. So, you know, we see that from every nation, tribe, and tongue.
Yes.
Those are very interesting. The words of the Bible are pretty clear. Every nation, tribe, and tongue. It doesn't use this like everyone came from Adam, everyone came from Noah, and those three sons on the ark. So this is the race of man. The race of man is settled. The differences of that race, nation, tongue, first nations, and then nations are reduced to tribes. Tribes reduced to clans. Clans reduced to families.
Yes.
And families not reduced, but families are made up of individuals. Yep. And so this is the grid that we're looking at. And I think that's why it's important to believe that there's only one race, because it sees us where we really come from. Like, now, you can take this, like, when someone says something that we are all God, you know, how do you process that? Oh, that's like a pantheistic. No, that's not pantheistic. That's, you know, a pantheist thinks that, you know, that we're all part of like this big cosmic thing and everything is alive and, like, you know, we're unified with the material, but we are more than material. We are made of material, but we are filled with the breath of God. And so for someone, you know, it really is a reality. If you are going to love your neighbor as yourself, you recognize that in your neighbor is the breath of God. In your neighbor is the blood that God made to course through your veins. And the life of the flesh is in the blood. So we know that this is... You know, we believe the things that we believe because we're looking at the Bible in terms of explanation. Does God give us all the coding for it? I mean, the long, you know, we've seen what code looks like for just a simple exercise in email, you know, creating the coding there between the zero and the one and the organization of that. My son's a computer coder for a hospital here, so I think I know he does some coding. I'm not so sure about it, but... But we know that, you know, but, you know, this is why, you know, if we don't recognize the connection between all of us, we cannot love our neighbor as we love ourselves.
Exactly.
And that's the, right?
Exactly. I mean, we spend, you know, so much time, let's say it like this, that the devil spends a lot of time convincing us of how our individual rights or our individual... pedestal, like we, you know, if the Bible was written by men, then we would have pictures of man standing on a pedestal being worshipped for all his goodness. Yeah. But when the Bible is inspired by God, written by men, we see the truth of the matter, which is man is a sinner without hope outside of the blood of Christ, right? So we need the blood of Christ. So the devil can spend all of the time trying to get us to exalt ourselves. Everything about our salvation comes from absolute selflessness, right? Mm-hmm. Has nothing to do with selfishness. Christ is the one person in all of creation, the Lamb without blemish, who could have been a selfish being. He's the only one who had the qualification, and he could have said, I am everything. I am perfect. I have all of God. I have all of man. I can do all things. But his humility, he emptied himself of his deity. He laid his life down on the cross, and he became our Savior. And the thing about us is, in our diversity, in our differences, God created us to be beautiful members one of another in the body of Christ. And if we start saying, you know, the hand doesn't treat me properly, so I'm going to cut it off. Or, you know, I don't like the way that the elbow looks, so I'm not going to have it as part of the body. We are going to be a disfigured and hurting body. And we know. And are we denying, you know, we live in the year 2023. We see all around us consistently, you know, biases that we've been born with in it. And some of that is inexplicable. You know, if you grow up as a little kid and you're only in your house and you only see your family, you may never know, unless there's like a specific discussion about it, that there's other people who aren't your family, right? Yeah. It takes time and education, and might even make some bad assumptions along the way. But with the mind of Christ, we can be corrected. We can walk uprightly, because we have by design somebody who's bigger than ourselves, all the way across the board, bigger than ourselves. And there is a place at the table for every single person who is born with a specific race or a specific nation as their origin. The race, we're all of the same.
Yeah, yeah.
And one last thing, Pastor Steve, about that is, you know, we talked about how Israel needed to be separate from the world, right? Because if they weren't, then there would be an infiltration of ideas and thoughts that would damage them, and there wouldn't be an opportunity for the Messiah to come through Israel. Yeah. We are called to be separate from the world. We are. Now, we live in the world. We love the world in a sense that we love people who are here. We don't love the ways of the world, because we recognize that there are certain behaviors or activities that are harmful to my growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. But my love for people is what carries me in this world. It's why we do what we do. We have a ministry that is based in the love of Christ. And if Christ loves people so much he would die for them, shouldn't I be loving people the same way? Shouldn't I go out of my way to minister life and to lay down my life for my brother and to recognize that my brother has an opinion, or not even an opinion, a conviction that's based in truth, that it's just as valuable as mine, even though he doesn't look like me?
Yeah. The table that God asks us to sit at, like, we're all invited to that table. And this is, we talk about these things because we are living in an age when we're elevated, when we're looking for identity markers or identity. I don't know what it's right. It's rooted in the lust of the flesh. Looking for a approbation or something. I'm looking for validation outside of myself. And, it's very interesting because we know that Jesus, we can take three beings. Let's talk about the Son of God. And then we also talk about Lucifer, the prince of the angels. I mean, glorious, beautiful. And then we know the creation Adam, who was made, formed from the dust, Psalm 8, and also Hebrews 2, and other places, the beginning of Genesis. You know, what was man made for? To have dominion. How was Lucifer made? He was made bright, beautiful, brilliant.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's the sun. How was the sun came? The sun came small, but he entered the world that he created. And now you think about it, like Lucifer had a measure of authority, became overwhelmed, or, you know, became really focused on his brilliance and his looks and decided, I am worthy of glory. So there we see that authority. And then he tricked the man who was also given an authority and he was tricked into this. And then Jesus came, the man living under the authority that he established in his creation. And we know that that he lived perfectly in order according to that authority as a flesh and blood human being.
Wow.
And this is like, so that all the nations, that's Psalms 22. When you read that, it begins, "Oh my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then towards the end of that chapter in the Psalms, it says that all the nation, all the ends of the earth will look to him. And so when you think about it, he was the only one who lived under that authority. And when you read the genealogy of Jesus, you notice, wait a minute. This woman from the promised land that was supposed to be a part of the people groups that were eliminated from the promised land, she believed what she heard, and she became a believer. When she hid the spies, that's Rahab. She's a part of the line of Jesus. We know that Ruth was a Moabitess. She heard something about the God of Israel and decided, I want to go and live in that and die in that land, worshiping that God. She becomes a part of this. It's like, so all of these, you know, we know that Jesus has always tried to make this element, you know, bringing humanity into a oneness with himself.
Yes. And I love that point about humanity being brought up into oneness with Christ, because in reality, have there been people groups who have been incredibly disparaged in our world? There have been. You know, you think about the Holocaust.
Yeah.
You think about slavery.
Yes, in America, in particular.
Yeah,
we can't deny it.
And we don't. And we're not saying that there hasn't been incredible injustice, right?
Yeah.
What we are saying is that we could be so preoccupied with the injustice that the devil has wrought in our earth that we could forget about the unity that's available to us in Christ Jesus. And I think this is the key, is that we recognize that there are certain things that have been done and have been established in our midst that would cause us, if we're not thinking with God, to be very selfish and to see ourselves differently. But we can't afford to think that way. I can't afford to have a root of bitterness in my heart, you know, and can we change what the past has done? We can't, you know, can we recognize our errors and make decisions that are godly and move forward in love and in kindness? Absolutely, we can. Mm-hmm. But at what point do we say, well, I trust God for the results. I trust God. And I have seen, so many awesome brothers and sisters in Christ who, for whatever situation, you know, wherever they came from, who have been put through incredibly difficult situations. I think of Nick Vujicic, who's, no arms, no legs. Yeah. And I've seen him speak twice in Hungary. And, you know, here's a guy who literally has no ability to be mobile, really, very minimal. And he loves the Lord God so incredibly. I am so convicted by thinking, you know, I have a bad day or my knee hurts or my head hurts and oh my gosh, this is terrible. Why is this happening to me? And we don't even know suffering, right? We don't even know suffering. We do know that God has allowed certain things to happen and it brings glory to him to see people draw near. He's not the author of evil, but he sure can use the results for his glory. So we can encourage one another that we don't have to deny that there's been injustice. We don't have to deny, and you guys will cover that in your social justice section tomorrow, perhaps.
Perhaps. I mean.
But the real justice is that we were without fail headed for hell, and Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death, right?
Yeah.
And that because of the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit presence in our lives. So I love that. I love the fact that there is, there are a slew of people who are not interested in our differences, but who are interested in our unity. And maybe we could see each other through the eyes of love and say, you know, they're not going to understand everything that I've been through. But I'm going to do my best to see Christ and see them in the eyes of grace, and then use teachable moments to say, hey, I just want to encourage you to know that, you know, this is how this activity makes me feel, or and let's, to the glory of God, grow together, his family.
Yeah, really. Yeah, so I think, like, we had a, you know, how do we celebrate that? How do we celebrate our differences? How do we do that? I think, you know, the church in particular was designed by God to be, and just the book of Acts tells us that we see all the people who are collected there and the varieties there, and there's so many varieties of people that heard things in their own languages, you know, this group, that group, Arabs, this group, everyone heard the Bible speaking to them in their own language. Why did God send the Holy Spirit? Why did God do that? To create something, something different, you know, something with differences,
yeah,
but communion.
Yes.
And it's like, and so churches, I think the proper church should be, you know, multi-ethnic, multi-generational. And how does that happen? I think you could only, you can't, like, I, you know, I read this passage in a novel that I read recently, and there's a character there and she's wrestling with something. She had been involved with a neo-Nazi and all this thing. And then there's some argument with the sister and, you know, and she said, you can't make it better. She said, the things that my husband did, I can't make it better.
Yeah.
You know, I can't go back and erase that. I have to deal with that in terms of reality. But I can think better about myself. And then how do I do that? By recognizing my need for repentance. Psalm 51, David could not erase what he did.
Exactly.
He could not bring back Uriah the Hittite after he stole his wife and had him killed. He cannot bring that back, but he can come to God and repent. And, you know, that's, I guess that's the thing, as, you know, I think, you know, have we been exclusive? Can we be exclusive? Can we be, you know, stereotypical? You know, can we stereotype? Yes, we do it all the time. Like it's built into us.
Yep.
It's the nature of sin. And you know, the church is supposed to be a space where everyone can be who they're supposed to be. Yep. And I think it takes decisions. It takes choices. It takes, like, recognizing things that are off and saying, yep, that's wrong.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
People were wrong. Ancestors, you know, the founders of our country should have taken, yep, we can't do that. We can't undo
exactly
that, but
exactly,
we can go forward.
Yeah. And activities that we try to do to undo it in a way that is not really going to settle the issue. It's mm-hmm. just going to try to put an appeasement on it.
Yeah.
I don't know that has a lasting value. And you know, we have a lot to learn. But I'm thinking about people like the Hatfields and the McCoys who
yeah.
are in Kentucky fighting generations and generations and generations. The Hatfields hate the McCoys. Why do they hate each other? Because my father hated his father, and his father hated his father. And none of them have been around since the beginning of that fight. And
yeah.
actually, wouldn't it be amazing if one day the Hatfields and the McCoys got together and realized we are actually the same people group. We are actually the same, you know, we have the same needs. We all need love and significance and security. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. We all need the principles of God. We know that the real issue, and the same thing happens with the blood feuds in Albania, and, you know, that people will literally spend generations in their homes because there's another family that has it out for them based on some sin of the father. And my Lord, imagine living your existence on earth in such a short, you know, a little encapsulated thing. So that's why it's so impressive to me when the world has a system, and in that system, there's a lot of oppression, and people have been brought up in that oppressive nature with bitterness and hatred in their hearts towards others. And you know what? Some people come out of that existence and have an effect on other people that's incredible, because they see themselves in the eyes of God and yeah. see others in the grace of God, and they minister so much life to us. And we've had the opportunity to work in our city in places where we see godly men, and we are just blown away by the fact that they could grow up in a place where it's not popular to be so godly, and yet they have a testimony of incredible victory. And I am just so built up, and we can think of so many who have made that step. And that's what it's all about. It's about esteeming one another higher than ourselves. It's about walking together in agreement in Amos 3:3. How can we walk together if we're not agreed? Well, what do we have to agree on? That God is above all of us, and that we are at Christ, we are crucified with Christ, Nevertheless, we live.
That's true. Yep. We are called to serve as he served, washing feet and all the rest. Well, Pastor Barry Quirk's been with me, Pastor Steve Androlonis. This has been the Grace Hour. We want to thank you for joining us today. If you missed the program at any point or you want to listen to it again, you can go to Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, and Stitcher. Talk about diversity.
Yeah.
There's a diversity of places where you can hear the podcast. Yes, we'll continue this discussion tomorrow on the Grace Hour. We're going to talk about social justice and where does it come from? You'd be surprised. You see, we wouldn't even be talking about social justice if it wasn't for the Christian movement in this whole wide, wonderful world. Well, thank you, Pastor Barry, for Jehu, who has been our engineer today. I want to say thanks for listening to the Grace Hour. I'm Steve Androlonis. Oh, I want to remind anyone listening that tonight here in Baltimore at 7 p.m. we'll have a church service, 6025 Moravia Park Drive. Come on and see us. Sorry, we ran out of music.